with all fingers touching, gaze upon the face of the Master Jesus. Visualize a golden radiance coming out of your heart and encompassing that face, and so it appears to be gold to you. And from the heart of the Master Jesus, a white radiance coming forth and surrounding your head, and especially lighting up a white halo around your crown. Now begin the attunement by just touching the two thumbs together, and as we move through each of the harmonics, move up the chakras and into each finger position with each visualization of each form. Sit with your hands on your lap, palms up, in a subjective position, seeking the holy white light of Christ within. The Master Jesus taught that anything that comes from outside of a person cannot defile that person. Only that which comes from within the heart and the person manifests or qualifies into the world can defile that person. What he meant by that is that the heart is a place where two impulses, or yetzarim, to use the Kabbalistic terms, reside. And they are considered from ancient times to have been two impulses or ways or directions that were planted inside the heart of man, the heart of humanity. And you'll find this in the Platonic writings or the Kabbalistic writings. Plato speaks of the direction to the left and the direction to the right, the clockwise and the counterclockwise. The word for image, when man is made in the image of God, is yetzer. And in the oldest transcripts we have of the Old Testament, the rabbis transcribed it with two yods instead of one to indicate that there were two yetzers within men, two impulses. The impulse towards godliness and the impulse towards decline. And so when the Master Jesus says that it's only things that come from within the heart of a person that can defile a person, not external things that have to do with ritual purification and ritual purity or magical food or having your sins forgiven by someone else or anything else, that it's only the things that come from within one's heart that defile a person, and the person cannot be defiled by anything that comes from without. He is speaking about this sort of thing and spiritual defilement. But we have another issue that we have to deal with as Templars, and that is the issue of purity. And purity does involve things that come from outside of us that can harm us, that can derail us, that can take our attention away, and that can be problems for us. This is a lecture about purity practices and what we call imperil.
Or sanctify that person. When he spoke in this way, he was speaking in an absolute sense and in terms of the deep spiritual realities of our being. We cannot be polluted, we cannot be harmed by anything from without. And it is by what we do and what we qualify into the world and what we express and what we bring forth from within ourselves that we are either defiled or sanctified. But at other levels of reality, at lower levels, at astral levels, at etheric levels, at unseen levels, as well as at physical levels, we can be very much harmed by things that come into us from the outside, whether they be germs of things or physical things that are propelled into us like bullets, or whether they be astral and subtle forces, thoughts, evil intentions, and so on. And these can hurt us, not permanently, not forever, but temporarily. And they can slow us down and they can give us a real hard time. I want to talk tonight about a very important subject. This is temple lecture number 5 in this series of teachings, the subject of imperil, aeroperil, and irritation. As people progress on the spiritual path and as they become more sensitive on more planes of reality, as their physical senses begin to develop the antikarana, the spirilli that connect them into higher senses, astral senses and mental senses, and into intuitive senses, as the sense of taste begins to flower as a sense of discrimination, and the sense of smell as the sense of intuition, as the sense of sight begins to flower into clairvoyance, and the sense of hearing into clairaudience, and all the tactile senses into telemetric and other forms of sensibilities and sensitivities. And as people begin to feel that which they had previously considered to be outside themselves, from within them, to be able to feel and experience what another person is feeling from inside that person, to be able to feel and experience animals, plants, situations from inside, so that they, as they grow and the petals of the lotus unfold, and the petals that we call the compassion petals begin to unfold as people become more and more sensitive that way, more and more psychic in the higher triadic level, then they become more and more vulnerable as well. It becomes very difficult for them to live in the valleys and in the cities where there is much of the normal human vibration and mental and emotional subtle kinds of mental and emotional pollutions and negativities that exist. And so in the past, the disciples went up into the mountains. They went up high into the mountains and higher altitudes and into places of solitude, and they did their work alone or away from civilization because they had no more chance of surviving intact as the beings they were evolving for the sake of humanity, not for their own individual sakes, but for the sake of humanity, of surviving in a city or on the plains or in the valleys, than a snowball has of surviving in hell. But humanity has changed. What a human being is changed, and what a human being can do has changed. And what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman has changed and become more expanded. And the great processes of purification that required solitude and mountaintops and caves have already been done in previous lifetimes by many people to live now in the cities and among people and serve usually anonymously and very often only half-consciously in this whole new venue. The whole new venue of living among humanity and being with humanity, following the example no longer of the sitting teachers, the Tibetan monks of the medieval period and so on, who taught people to do the practices and so on that would lead to higher contact with the more divine nature and so on. But now they follow the practices of the walking teachers, the greatest of whom was, of course, Jesus, who walked among humanity, who was with people, who touched lepers, who ate with people who were considered to be sinful. In other words, the way of living is a way of serving that is like the ideal of the Buddhist Bodhisattva. Being in life, serving in life, staying in life, returning to life, incarnation after incarnation, working for the liberation of all sentient beings, for the purification of the planet and of humanity and of the self in the process. As the Indian shaman would say, I do this that my people may live. Now, in this new situation that people find themselves in, there are new kinds of dangers and new kinds of environments that have to be lived in and dealt with. The basic category under which this all falls is a very simple English word, irritation. Those who become very sensitive psychically can easily become irritated. But irritation is more than just a mental or emotional state. Irritation is an actual astral and etheric state. There are actual products of irritation. The product of irritation on the astral level is a crystallization, a precipitate, a sediment that puts itself in the channels of the nadis, of the nerve channels, of a sensitive being, and precipitates as a kind of black, fiery substance, which we call imperil. Imperil is from the sensar root, which has been Latinized. It means something like fiery irritation or disharmony. And it settles in these channels of the chakra networks, and it burns the fine and complex structures of the astral and etheric bodies, and it results in ever-increasing contractedness of personality and of consciousness, or a lower ego state, insensibility to subtle and aesthetic and spiritual and interior means of perception, and increasing personal unhappiness and disharmonious relationships, and eventually deteriorating health. And as individuals progress on the spiritual path, they become more and more vulnerable to imperil poisoning if they live in the cities, among people, and in serving positions, until finally they become immune to it. Finally, they're able to metabolize it. Finally, they're able to handle it. Very often, people on the spiritual path go through a period of a couple of years of purification practices, for example, vegetarianism. The reason for vegetarianism is not mercy for animals. The reason for everything we do kills things. Everything in our body is alive. There are microbes that we're constantly feeding on. In fact, it's an honor for a lower life form to be metabolized and brought into a higher and more expanded universe of life forms as we are. The whole force of evolution is the bringing up of many simpler forms into much larger holons and larger groups. And that's in fact what we are. If we look at ourselves, at our cells, at our different systems, we see in them lower forms of life and phylums of creatures like sponges and amoebas and so on, all functioning inside the unity that we are biologically. And it's the same spiritually. Jesus said, blessed is the man who eats the lion, and the lion will become man. But cursed is the man whom the lion eats, and the man will become lion. And he's not just speaking physically there. He's talking about the lion as the bringing up into the throat of the results of anger and irritation. And if one allows oneself to be consumed by it, one has to feel it. If you don't feel it, then you're in trouble psychologically, because you are repressing feeling. And if you have repressed feeling, it runs around like a wild animal. You can't even feel, and you don't know when it's active. So one has to be able to feel one's anger or anything else one has to feel. But then what does one do with it? Simply expressing it is not the answer. One has to go through a process of transubstantiation, one might say, a process of transformation, a process of sublimation. And when the man eats the lion, he's the man who does not allow anger to rise up any higher than his throat chakra. And he then does something with it that is creative and positive. The same thing with fear. There's no such thing as courage without fear. You can't have courage without fear. You have to have fear first. courage is the response to fear. And all the other virtues we think of in human personality are responses to forms of irritation. Now, imperil is technically the astral precipitate of irritation, and irritation is the cause of it. But I'm going to speak of them just as one kind of thing now in order for the purpose of this lecture. Imperil is actually a thing. It can be spread by touch. It can be spread by sound into the ear. It can be spread by food. There are many kinds of things that can do it. And when people who are working on higher spiritual development, especially in meditation practices and various kinds of spiritualization practices, get into situations where they're is irritation from all kinds of things. It can be from sound, it can be from irritating personalities, from conflicts, bad chemistry with people, and so on. When that occurs, then in the aura of the sensitive person, the irritation begins to appear like a fire. And if that is not dealt with, if it's not metabolized, and if it's not met with properly, it then can crystallize into these fiery crystals that sediment into one's aura and eventually into one's nerve channels, causing illness and causing other kinds of problems. And so that is the first block that the person who is working on the spiritual path comes to, the contradiction of it. The more sensitive you get, the more vulnerable you get. Mother Jenny, my teacher, told me that. And she passed away at the age of 97. She told me that when she was a younger woman in Santa Cruz, that when there was much less traffic on the highway, every time there was an accident, she would feel it as a kind of crashing in her cranium. And she would always know there had been an accident on the highway and so on. But eventually, as there got to be more people, more problems, more conflicts, more things going on, it became kind of a dull, sort of dark rumble that she was no longer sensitive to. And this is a woman, I'm talking about a woman who was an extremely psychic saint and who was very sensitive to all kinds of things. But that became just a background to her eventually that she no longer sensed. And it was a mercy for her because she was so sensitive. And this is a woman who would tell me when I was sitting in her living room, a few hours ago there was a terrible earthquake and down south, she meant South America, and many people were killed, and she told me about it was in the morning when I came over to see her, and she had been sleeping, and she said, "I was out of my body helping people make the transition," and so on. And then over the news wires about 8 hours later would come the information there had been this big earthquake and all these mud houses had collapsed and so on. So she was very sensitive to things around the world, but she also was troubled by all the conflict and all the things that were in the world, and that can become a serious problem for a person who's becoming very sensitive. Meat is a very strong carrier, especially red meat of things. You get into higher categories of animals, up to mammals finally. Meat carries a very great amount of actual imperial crystals that cannot be cooked out by fire. They can be smoked out, really. Highly processed and smoked meats get rid of a lot of the imperil, but just by cooking, you don't get rid of the imperil. And then you eat it, and it's already crystallized imperil. It goes into your body and goes into your nerve channels. It comes into yourself. Now, it doesn't hurt you ultimately spiritually, but it can hurt you psychically. And it's one of the things that people aren't aware of. Well, the reason for vegetarianism is because when you kill plants, they form practically no imperil at all, because their consciousness is such that for a plant, for a fruit, for something like that to go through a death process, there's no fear, there's no feeling of fear, there's no big response. If you've ever caught a fish and watched the fish die, a rainbow trout, and pulled it into the boat and watched the rainbow colors fade, or if you've ever caught a shark and the shark died and you ate it 8 hours later, and when you put it in the oven it smelled like wet diapers. That's because there is a change that happens in the meat as a result of the process of fear and death and glands leak things into the meat that actually spoils the taste of the meat. You can taste it very definitely. Well, it happens in all meats. It happens in all animals, but it's not something you can normally smell. And as a result of that, eating of meats, especially red meats, but also fowl and even fish, but fish to a very much lesser degree, contains within it, depending upon how the animals are killed, especially, a great deal of imperil or crystallized fear, crystallized anger, crystallized irritation, which when you eat is metabolized not only physically in your body, but etherically in your body and astrally in your body, in your aura. And that can lead then to eventually a much less sensitive person, a kind of numbing of higher sensibilities and higher sensitivities, and a kind of putting one into what would be called a tamasic state, or a very lethargic kind of state, both spiritually and physically, and resulting also in physical ailments and things like this. Now, a very advanced being, a being who knows how to deal with this, Jesus, for example, could eat anything. He could drink anything, and it would be no problem, because it would be immediately burned in his aura, in his body. Imperil immediately dissolved when it got within so many feet of him. I remember Mother Jenny once, a woman came to a meeting who was obsessed by a spirit, by a consciousness. And as soon as she walked into Mother Jenny's house, she fell on the floor and rolled around, and this consciousness spoke and screamed and left. And then she stood up and she was fine. And Mother Jenny didn't do an exorcism on her or anything. She just walked into Mother Jenny's aura, and that just kicked the thing out. And it does the same thing with imperil when you have a highly advanced and highly purified being. But in order, for starters, you can't just get there, and you certainly can't get there by eating meat. You have to go through purification rites, purification times. You have to give yourself an even playing field if you live in the city or anywhere else where you're full of this kind of irritation and you don't even know it. What causes this stuff? Agitation of the astral body, watching the kind of movies that the kind of videos and movies that everybody's making these days. Violence, getting turned on with all kinds of sexual things with and so on. Temper, stress of temper, just stress of any kind can bring it up. Let me explain something. When you become angry, you create a precipitate in your own astral body and in your own field. That's imperil. You harm yourself. Every time you get pissed off, you harm yourself. Every time you get mad at somebody, you harm yourself. That's what it is. So stress and temper, hatred, dislike, prejudice, continuous rejection of a person or an idea or a group, and narrow-mindedness. It's very important to rid oneself of prejudices. It's very important to find out what one's prejudices are. We all have them. It's part of nature to grow up with certain kinds of boxed-in viewpoints about things, and then to work on those prejudices. When you discover those prejudices, work on them. If you are, if you go into a McDonald's and you see a fat, ugly Chicano lady with little black zits on her face serving food, and you immediately start to feel, ugh, and so don't want to get too near, you've got a prejudice. If you were on a desert island with that lady for a year and got to really know her and got to appreciate her, she would become very beautiful to you. But we all have these prejudices, and that will create imperil. Sense of being abused, a sense of injustice to oneself. People who become paranoid and have a sense that they're picked on and they're abused and but don't take their own responsibility, they create imperil in themselves. Reaction to things, resentment that are formed over things, one not feel as though one doesn't get a fair treatment. Thoughts of revenge and things like that, all those create imperil in a person. Even just little thoughts or intentions of having glee in your enemy's destruction, or even defining enemies to yourself, all that does. Criticism, gossip, quarreling, all those things produce. When you're around people that are critical or gossipy or quarreling, there's imperil in the atmosphere. There's an old saying that the masters had. They said, when there's pepper in the air, everybody sneezes. somebody's in from the area, everybody gets it. When you're around a bickering group, you're poisoned by it too. Ingratitude. People who don't appreciate things that other people do for them, the ingratitude produces that. Demanding, forcing other people's wills, intolerance of people. Impatience is one of the really strong producers. Worry, conscious worrying. Lying, conscious distortion of facts, where you think you can hold the truth in your mind but fabricate another thing and keep that up for a long time. That actually that destroys your computer program eventually, because you start out knowing the difference between truth and reality, but eventually you start having a value of the reality that you create is more important than the reality you actually see, and pretty soon you get so you can't discriminate it. And then a day comes when you're in a real hurry, it's late at night, and you look both ways, and you see nobody coming, so you go out and drive out there, and you're hit by a flaming oil truck, and you really didn't see it coming, because you had created the illusion in yourself that reality was the way you wanted it to be. Intensification of the astral body through certain kinds of uses of drugs, heavy rock music and stuff like that intensifies the astral body. Noise pollution, those are things that can create imperil, and the things that we experience all the time. There is another form of stuff that is different. It's a cosmic kind of poisoning that exists outside the planet, but it comes into the planet. And when it comes into contact with imperil, it becomes powerful on groups and societies and places. So that we can talk about places that are polluted, not just people, places that are polluted. So just like we can talk about a sacred place, we can talk about a polluted place. And just as we can talk about a saint, we can talk about somebody who's terrifically polluted, not a sinner. Just as we can talk about a spiritually clean and inspiring environment, we can also talk about a spiritually vampirical environment that sucks everything from you and demands everything from you. And you'll run into people in your life that are strong imperil holders, and people think of them as vampiric and what they do. After you've been around these people, you'll feel tremendously drained. These are people that have heavy imperil, and that interaction of the imperil with this cosmic stuff that I'm telling you about, which is called aeroperil, creates these conditions. Now, water, especially salt water, removes and disinfects imperil that one gets from contact, for example, or on the skin or around and so on. Another person cannot receive the imperil from this. Say you take a bath and you've been in some condition where you've been in some really raunchy place, some place where there's been, let's say you've been visiting San Quentin Prison or Alcatraz. You now have vibrations all around you from the pain and the sorrow and the distortedness of the people that were there. That remains. That's in that environment. And that's vibrating around you like this. Now, let's say you go take a bath, especially if you know something about the esoteric uses and properties of certain kinds of oils and things like this, and you take this bath, and then you leave the water. You have actually cleansed yourself from the irritation before it becomes imperil forming. But let's say somebody else says, well, can I use your bath water? Well, yes, the other person can use it, and they won't get it. But if the minute it touches their mucous membranes, it goes into the nose or into the mouth, then it's absorbed, and they can get it. So that's an interesting thing about water. Jesus, when he exercised, a special hard case was a case of the fellow who was full of all kinds of, he was full of a legion of possessing entities. And Jesus told them they had to get out, and they said, well, please don't. If when they're sent out, then they decay. They're disharmonious entities, consciousnesses that are disembodied, that need a living biological thing to be attached to and magnetized to so that they can continue as egos. And when they no longer have anything to be attached to, after a certain amount of time, they start to decay, they start to fall asleep, and they fall, and they eventually will decay into smaller